If one woman finds her way to confidence, it changes her life. But if millions of women find themselves, then we change the world.
Welcome to the Visibility Strategies for Women Entrepreneurs podcast, where we empower female business owners to step boldly into the spotlight and claim the recognition they deserve. I'm your host, Tori Barker. I'm passionate about helping women like you transform your visibility into tangible business success. Each week on this show, we'll dive deep into game-changing strategies, share inspiring success stories from women who've mastered their visibility, and offer practical, actionable advice you can implement immediately. Whether you're just starting your entrepreneurial journey, pivoting your business model, or ready to elevate your existing presence to new heights, you'll discover effective approaches to create exciting opportunities and expand your reach. So let's harness the power of strategic visibility and grow your business together. Welcome to the show. We are back on the show. I'm so excited to have my guest today, AJ. How are you?
I'm doing so awesome, Tori. How are you?
I'm so fantastic. I always love it when we get to catch up right before the call and lead right into this conversation and just start, you know, leading with value and giving all the good information and sharing everything that you have to offer. And I'm just so excited to share your story.
Well, thank you.
So tell us a little bit about what you do before we dive in.
Yeah. So I always tell people, you know, how sometimes when you're in the mix of things and you're trying to figure things out, some major financial decision always seems to be a factor in that. So I always say I help women trust themselves with money. At the core of what I do, I help women make confident financial decisions. Mm. I've spent 20 years in wealth management. And over that time, myself included, I just realized that the lack of engagement from women in the industry isn't because it's over our heads or because we don't get it. It's just the fact that we were never taught how to be confident when it comes to money.
Yeah. So what is one of those shifts in the mindset of confidence when it comes to money that you find that you have to work on with women?
Yeah, I talk a lot about this in my book. And what I would say is the number one thing is getting really clear around what are the stories or what I call wealth scripts in your life.
Yeah.
So simply put, what did money mean to you growing up? How did your parents talk about it? What did you hear from friends? You know, I grew up in a small town in Utah, and my mother was, you know, very humble beginnings. My father passed away when I was a baby, but the school I went to had some very affluent families in it. Mm. So doctors and pilots. And I remember thinking, like, growing up, I'm like, okay, I'm really clearly not rich, right? And I didn't even think the word wealth was even used in my house.
Yeah.
So it's looking back and thinking, well, how did my parents talk about money? What kind of environment was I in? And really getting clarity around, do those stories and scripts actually still fit for where I'm at now in my life?
Yeah. And I think as entrepreneurs, you know, we have, if we don't come from an entrepreneurial background or if we don't come from a wealthy childhood, I feel like there's so many misconceptions that we have about wealth.
Yes.
That we have to either teach ourselves, learn, experience, immerse ourselves in that culture, if you will, to then break kind of those mindset shifts too. Would you agree?
Yeah. And I would even push it slightly forward. So I'm on this big campaign right now to talk about how financial literacy is overdone, right? Like there is more than enough information out there on if someone really wants to learn how to, you know, build wealth. There's Google, there's coaches, there's all the things out there. My whole point is we have not been taught how to make decisions. And so we second guess ourselves. And those hesitations is actually what stop us from taking the necessary steps and sometimes risky steps to build wealth. And I talk about wealth as well as not just being money, right? Wealth is, if we look back, the archaic, the old English meaning actually was well-being. So money is a piece of wealth, but there's all these other portions like your health and your relationships and your environment right? Like, are they contributing to your holistic wealth? I call it whole woman wealth, in the sense that I am at peace with where I'm at and I'm moving in alignment, whether that's directing my money, whether that's directing my time, whether that's putting effort and energy into things that I care about or work that I care about.
Yeah.
So I don't think we talked about that enough when we were kids, right? It was more like, hey, go to college, or if you want to, you know, if you want to be rich, do XYZ, like Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, or
right,
you know, favorite Cribs. You know, it's like, oh, we were given all these visuals and images of what it meant, but no clear pathway on how to get there.
What I love that what you said was the decision, right? Like how to make decisions. Because I think that's a very good point that we don't, I've never thought of it in that perspective, right? It's always like education, like, you know, empower yourself with knowledge and educate yourself on how to spend your money, you know, invest your money. But the decision-making behind it is a whole nother shift, because once you have that money, you've done your research, education, all of that, whatever, but now you hesitate in decisions, or you're unclear or confident with your decisions. So it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I think it's such a different perspective and thought process. I'd love for you to go a little bit deeper on that if you don't mind.
Yeah. I would say how I got here. Maybe that's helpful.
Yeah.
So 20 years in wealth management, I started as a financial advisor with, like, right out of college. It was the best job I could find. And, you know, I lived in a small town in Arizona at the time, and I went into the bank and they're like, we're hiring. I'm like, okay, cool. So I was like, I like people. I like talking to people. Let's see what happens. Fast forward 20 years after working with billionaires to super successful, right, celebrities, or even, right, business owners, small business owners, large business owners, the one thing I kept seeing was every time an extremely intelligent, extremely powerful, extremely confident business owner would sit at a table, and this is true for men too, but it's very true for women.
Yeah.
There was always this hesitation, right? There was always this moment where they just didn't feel comfortable in pulling the trigger, or they were always looking for validation around the table. And I realized, I'm like, oh, this isn't a financial literacy issue. This is a financial confidence, and confidence comes through competence.
Yeah.
Okay. So then competence, right? If financial education was all we needed, well, again, we're in the time of information overload, which in some ways is part of the challenge too. Like, who do you trust? Who really knows what they're talking about? But not having that barometer, right? Like that North Star, as I like to call it, of knowing, how do I make decisions for myself that feel aligned with what I'm, right? Because you're different than me, I'm different than you. Like, I need to have my own decision-making framework. And so that was really what I started working with women on in my organizations, whether that was clients to the advisors I was managing to leaders. And I started seeing that that shifted everything. So women started asking for more when they were up for a promotion.
Yeah.
Business owners started asking, they started raising their prices, right? Because they realized that now that they're able to make confident decisions, right? Which aren't always easy, right? Sounds, we made confident decisions, that'd be easy. But having that framework created massive impact for these women, and it's a sustainable, right? Yeah. That's my only concern when I sometimes talk about financial literacy, is financial literacy is the very first step, but we have to figure out, how do we sustain that confidence?
Right.
And it's not like I can be confident all the time, but how do I have the inner right framework so that if I'm not feeling confident, I can then pull it out and I'm like, okay, here's what I know about myself. Here's what I'm doing. And here's the next step.
Yeah. And I think one of the other components of that, you know, you go from high achieving wealthy women who are going through the hustle and all of this stuff, but they still lack worthiness, or they have 100%. Issues with worthiness. Like, am I really worthy of this money that I'm now confidently asking for? They second guess themselves, or they have imposter syndrome. I think that's another layer to that, you know, issue, if you will.
100%. And that's why when I work with women, that's actually where we start. So you ask the question, like, where do you start? Well, it's mindset. What you're talking about is mindset.
Yeah.
It's looking at, how do I believe I deserve wealth? Like, that was a big piece for me Am I even worthy of it? As I work with clients, I often hear, well, wealth feels so far out there, right? Like it's not something for me. Like, sure, I'm doing okay or I'm doing well, but I'm not wealthy. And I think that that is the narrative that gets to shift because when a woman is aligned and feels like she has enough and she is enough, everything shifts for her, right? Like there's no longer the hustle, there's no longer the comparison, there's no longer this need to feel like I have to perform or prove who I am. I'm good with me. And that's what I believe is possible. And that's why I do the work that I do, because I believe women are, right, at the end of the day, in 5 years, so we're in 2025 on the edge of 2026, women will actually own the majority of money and wealth in the world. And this is the first time in history. And so I've been seeing this milestone coming, and I was like, what needs to shift, right? Like we have plenty of financial advisors, we have plenty of financial education, but clearly something's not clicking. And that's what promoted, that's why it was like, okay, I'm going to write a book. So that was really the reason why I wanted to write the book was to tell stories different than let me teach you how to build wealth in 5 steps.
Tell us the name of your book.
So the book is called Rich Like Her, and it's this beautiful journey of four different women at crossroads.
Oh, I
Because
love that.
ultimately, that's when I would say the heat gets turned up on when a woman needs to make financial decisions. It's typically a divorce, right? Unfortunately, it's if she becomes a widow. Most commonly now, it's when women are transitioning out of what I call the golden handcuffs. Everyone does, right? Corporate America, they make great money.
I
Right? They make great money, but they feel trapped because they can't walk away and bet on themselves, right? Going back to that worthiness. And then the other way that women will inherently, right, get this wealth is through the passing of their parents. And
Very
so
true.
a lot of times when I would see that scenario with a woman, there was a lot of guilt, like, I didn't earn this money. It's not mine. And so what would happen is they would start to avoid. And they
Interesting.
wouldn't be as in they weren't as interactive or they weren't as interested in how their money was doing. So that's the intersection of the beauty of the work I like to do is it's like, okay, we're in this moment of rebirth or reinvention. How do we actually leverage this moment of self-discovery to figure out what does this next chapter look like, not only for my life, but for right, my money and my finances?
It's so interesting. I feel like I'm having more and more conversations with women like you who are talking about this transition of not women taking over per se, but like coming into their power or in a transition, like you said, from either passing of a spouse or leaving corporate and starting their own company. And I feel like I don't know if it's because of like the generation, like the baby boomers are such a big generation, moving forward, and those women are in their 50s, 60s, and really just embracing who they are and wanting to still lead with purpose and the value that they have and all that they have to give. I feel like it's an interesting shift that we're in our time, where there are these women who are kind of these pioneers, if you will.
Yeah, there is a really interesting article I read maybe a month or two ago about how menopausal women are asking for a divorce. And I'm like, that's just so typical of the media to take something and put it on menopause, right? But I think the real truth is the fact that we as women have done all the things we were told to do. Right, we've been the good girls, we got the job, we went to college or not, we started the business or not, like we followed the path and we got to a point where it's like, wait a minute, like I'm here where I was supposed to be. Now what? Right? Like
Now what?
it's not, I don't feel like I have it all, right? I don't feel like I'm fulfilled. I don't feel like I'm successful. I don't feel like I'm powerful. And I think women are starting to see that, okay, maybe there was a disconnect somewhere along the way of how I had to get there. So, for example, I'm an older millennial. Like, I'm
Yeah,
at the
same.
very top. I'm like 1 year, like some charts, I'm a Gen X and a young Gen X. And most of them, though, I'm a millennial. And so the model I grew up with was like going to college was not an option with my mother. Like, you want to be successful, you want to have your own money, right? Like, she was very adamant about that. Now, was she always like that? No. She learned the hard way. She had to take on, right, raising me and my two sisters after my father passed away. She was a widow at 37, and she had to learn all the lessons on her own at the age of 37. And so she didn't want us to take on that, right? So I just came on and I was like, okay, cool. I gotta rule the world. And then when I did, I was like, wait a minute, like this isn't what I want to do. And women are getting to these new levels of success. And let's be honest, the room is filled with men still. And that energy and that way of being just isn't how we are made up, right? Like, I would say I'm a pretty type A personality, but I still like to chill. I still like to be like in my zone. There's just different motivators. And I think that's like my rally cry and what my community is about is this idea that we get to have quiet confidence and quiet power,
I
right?
love
It
that.
doesn't look like a man. It looks just like me, right? I can be confident, I can be powerful, and I don't have to do it like a man.
I love that. That shift right there is, I think, the biggest thing of all, because I feel like we've been up until this point trying to match that male competitor, if you will. Like, we've got to be like them. We've got to do stuff just like our, male counterparts or the manager role that we're trying to get. We're competing. And it's like, no, we can't. We're totally different beings. Like, we function and we work in different ways. And so I love that we're empowering ourselves to, be who we are and still be confident and be successful, but in our own way. And I think that's the biggest shift, I think, in this where we are right now, that I love seeing the shift that we're in.
And I always say, like, it's not the men's fault. Like,
No.
some people are like, why do you hate men so much? I'm like, dude, I have three sons. Like, I'm surrounded by
Two
men all the time,
boys. Yep.
right? Like, it has nothing to do with men. It's the structure, right? Like, let's be honest, women didn't come into the levels of leadership that we've seen, whether that's a CEO of Fortune 500 companies or even owning their own businesses is pretty new to women. Like, I think sometimes we forget that,
How
like,
new
in the
this is.
1970s, you had to have your husband or a man come open up an account with you. You couldn't even have your own account. So I think it's no one's fault. It's just now our opportunity to change the script, right? To see, I call it invisible rules.
I love.
It's time for us to see what these invisible rules are, how they've played a role in our life, and the way we've carved out our definition of success. And does that still fit? And if not, cool. Let's figure out what does now. And I've just seen like so many women come alive in the process, right? Not only because they're now more confident in making their decisions, but they just have a new North Star, right? That inner knowing that I'm on the right path and I'm unstoppable. And to me, that is, right, the joy of what I get to do every day is helping women when they're candidly sometimes in the most vulnerable position that they've ever been in, right? After someone's lost a partner or after they're going through a divorce, and being able to see them, right, rise up through the fire like a phoenix. I know that's a little cliche, but like that is the juice. Like, to me, that's what I love to do.
And I know when you and I have talked before, you've talked about these three T's. So I don't know if maybe we touched on that a little bit, but when you told me about that, I really resonated with that structure, that formula or framework that you mentioned. So I'd love for you to share a little bit about that too, and maybe tie it into our conversation
Yeah, so I love that you remembered that.
if
So the whole idea behind it is when you think about, I like to do frameworks. That's just my zone of genius. I'm the person that likes to look at patterns and put it into, right, something that makes it simple and easy. So when I started thinking about how do I talk about wealth being more than money, right? Like, because everyone, wealth and money are the same. And so one day I was like, okay, if wealth is more than money, what is it? And I realized it's three T's. So the first T, treasure, right? So treasure, money. I was like, oh, that's kind of cute. I got my treasure. But the other two, which I think all of us can really relate to, are one is time, Right, like time is our most valuable resource. We can't get it back. It right once it's gone, it's gone. And as you continue to get older, you become really aware of how precious your time is. Right, like even yesterday, I have a coach, right, and I encourage everyone to. I was talking to my coach about my time and how things I used to enjoy doing and spending my time on just aren't worth my time anymore because I could be doing something else. For example, I used to love going to the grocery store. Now I'm like, can I just order my groceries? Because I'm starting to eat the same foods all the time.
Yeah.
and so do the kids. As you know, boys like to eat the same thing. It's like pasta and cheeseburgers. Like, I'm like, this is so simple. Like,
rinse and repeat, right?
Exactly. So I'm like, that's an example of how I can maximize my time. I can spend more time with my family versus going to the grocery store. Right? Like thinking about the different ways that I can automate, eliminate, or delegate, right? Like that's another framework we, if we have time, we can go into. But time is another wealth measurement. And then the third one is talent, right? This idea of our passion, our vocation, like what were we put on this earth to do? Our purpose, right? Like all those words are synonymous in this, in my world, and thinking, well, if I'm going to have to work, right? Like we all have to have fruitful labor, as I like to call it. So whether that's a job, whether that's a business, whether that's a entrepreneurship, right? Like, how do I bring my talent to the surface and know and understand, like, what am I uniquely here to do that Tori's not here to do, right? And what are you here to do that I'm not uniquely here to do? So wealth to me, it's your time, it's your treasure, and it's your talent.
I love it. Now, as we're kind of wrapping up our conversation, I'd love for you to share your perspective on how all of this ties into visibility, because, as you know, the podcast is talking about visibility, and I myself, I mean, you know, I can tie visibility into anything. There's so many facets of visibility, but I'd love to hear from your perspective, how you think wealth and financial power and confidence around your money, how that ties into visibility.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful question. And the first thing that came to mind for me is this idea of visibility being presence, or in the, like that quiet confidence that I'm talking about, right? Like knowing who I am without having to share it to the world, right? And what I mean by that is like, just when you're interacting with someone, you're like, whoa, something's different about that person, right? Like there's a presence, there's an energy, there's a radiance to them. And I think visibility and confidence are synonymous specifically to wealth, because when a woman can make financial decisions that are aligned with her, she's more powerful, right? She has more opportunities. She has more choice.
Yeah.
She has more ways to advance not only herself, but future generations, right? Women tend to be the driver, like physically, right? We have the babies, but we tend to be the ones who move people, right? We move communities. We build communities. We love the idea of belonging. And so one of my core, like my core values, my core vision, my core messages is, right, if one woman finds her way to confidence, it changes her life. But if millions of women find themselves, then we change the world. And so through that, like we become more visible. We have new ideas. We start new businesses. We make an impact in our community. We raise amazing children, right? Like there is nothing more important right now than raising amazing kids, right? Because yeah, some people are like, well, what about stay-at-home moms? Well, that's a character in my book, because we all understand what it means to be a mother. And whether you're staying at home, which I think is a full-time job in itself, or you have a side business, or you have a full-time business, or you work in corporate or wherever, like we are the future of what it means to have visibility and power, right? So confidence, visibility, and power to me are all in that same spectrum.
So amazing. AJ, it has been phenomenal talking to you. I feel like I've got so much more that we could cover.
I know. It's like, it's time. It's, we'll have to get some coffee next time.
I know. We got to have our own little coffee
little
chat.
Coffee chat. Yeah.
Well, thank you again so much for being a guest. How can people get in touch with you, learn about your book, and just kind of, you know, immerse themselves in your world and start to learn from you?
Yeah, so two great ways to find me, my website, ajbishopandrews.com. There's a whole tab specifically related to the book, Rich Like Her. There's free resources there if you are in the middle of what I call a crossroads, or maybe you're just at this point, right? It's the new year and you're like, I want to take control of my money and my finances so I can rediscover this idea of what it means for me to be wealthy. So check out my website. That's the best place to find all of the tools and resources that I've created. And I'm happy to share if people are in the middle of like all of the crazy things that are going on in life, you need support. I also do offer a free session to just chat through, because to me, I'm just so committed to this idea that if I can get on a phone call with someone and help them figure out their next step, that's a win. Like whether they work with me or not is not my goal. My vision is 1 million women by 2035. So in order to do that, I've got to make myself available to support and really encourage women to go after what it is that they want, because they're worth it. And we need more women living in their talent, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh, so amazing. Thank you so much again for being a guest.
Thanks so much for having me, Tori.